Okay, Chevra. We're learning Sukkah on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. And if you remember in Daf Tes Amud Aleph, the Mishnah over here on the top of the page has a machlokas. According to Beis Shammai, an old Sukkah is pasul, and Beis Hillel says it's kosher. And we developed the idea over the last 2 weeks when we were learning these sugyas. We developed the idea that Beis Shammai says that a Sukkah has to be constructed l'shma. According to Beis Shammai, you have to build a sukkah for the mitzvah of sukkah. A sukkah has to be l'shma, according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel disagrees. And Beis Hillel says, no, a sukkah does not have to be l'shma. That's basically the issue. And the Gemara tries to figure out what's the pasuk that a sukkah has to be l'shma, according to Beis Shammai. And first the Gemara says the pasuk is that you should make sukkahs l'Hashem. And the Gemara says, no, that pasuk l'Hashem, that doesn't tell me that you have to build the sukkah l'shma. That tells me some din that chal shem shamayim al ha-sukkah, which we elaborated on last week, which basically means that a sukkah has kedusha, and because the sukkah has kedusha, so therefore I'm not allowed to use the sukkah. Right? So I can't break off pieces of the sukkah, I can't burn the sukkah. It's some din of mukta. That's what we developed last week. So the Gemara says that really that pasuk of making sukkahs l'Hashem, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that that does not teach me that a sukkah has to be l'shma. That tells me this din of chal shem shamayim al ha-sukkah, like we explained. Rather, the Gemara says, ela mai tamayhu de Beis Shammai. Right, if you see, it says Devarim Tes Vav in the Torah or in the inner margin. And the Gemara asks, what's the reason of Beis Shammai? It's not from L'Hashem. Mai tamayu de Beis Shammai, zok li Gemara ksiv kra achrina. There's another pasuk. Chag hasukos ta'aseh licha shiv as yamim. That you should make a sukkah, you should make it for yourself for 7 days. And that teaches me that sukkah ha'asuya l'shem chag bi'inan. Right? It's almost like chag hasukos ta'aseh licha. It's almost like make your own yantiv. Make your own sukkah. And what you should do is make a sukkah l'shem chag. Make a sukkah l'shem the yantiv. Okay. So that tells me, according to Beis Shammai, that sukkah has to be l'shma. That you have to build the sukkah for the purposes of the yantiv. U'Beis Hillel, what does Beis Hillel do with that pasuk of chag hasukos ta'aseh licha? Says the Gemara, Hahu mibayale la'osin sukkah b'cholo shomoed. Right? Chag hasukos ta'aseh licha, according to Beis Hillel, means even on chag hasukos, build a sukkah. You're allowed to build a sukkah even on chol hamoed. We mentioned that chol hamoed, you're not allowed to do malacha. According to many, it's a deoraisa prohibition, it's a prohibition min ha-Torah. There's certain types of malachos that you are allowed to do. You're allowed to build a, you're allowed to do something if it's l'tzorech moed, if you need it for the yantiv. You're allowed to do it on chol hamoed, provided it's ma'isa hedyet, provided it's not an expert type of activity. So Beis Hillel says, I'm allowed to build a sukkah on chol hamoed. That's not a problem, because there's no malacha involved in building a sukkah. It's not ma'isa umen, it's not a professional work. You do it for the yantiv, it's fine. But Beis Shammai holds, Beis Shammai Sirlu K'Rabbi Eliezer, the Amar Ein Osen Sukkah B'chol HaMoed. Right? Beis Shammai holds, like Rabbi Eliezer, that you cannot build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Basically, Rabbi Eliezer says that your sukkah has to be up for 14 meals. That's what your sukkah has to do. You have to have 14 meals in your sukkah. 2 meals a day, 7 days a yontif. Okay, this is advanced mathematics, Chevra. 2 times 7 equals 14. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you cannot build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed because the sukkah is only a sukkah if it's there for the entire yontif. And Beis Shammai agrees with that. Or Beis Shammai agrees with Rabbi Eliezer. Beis Shammai says that chag hasukos ta'aseh licha, right, means you have to build a sukkah l'shma. You have to build a sukkah, therefore, for the entire yontiv, and therefore you cannot build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed. Because if I build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed, that sukkah is not there for the entire yontiv. So, effectively, this ends the back and forth in the Gemara regarding sukkah. In other words, Beis Shammai says that a sukkah has to be lishma, and the Gemara learns this from the pasuk of Chag HaSukkos ta'aseh lecha. Beis Hillel says no, sukkah need not be lishma. The pasuk of Chag HaSukkos ta'aseh lecha, according to Beis Hillel, means that you build a sukkah in the middle of Chol HaMoed. So now the Gemara asks a question, and this question is not from the halachos of sukkah. We're taking a detour, and we're going to the halacha of tzitzis. Now, on some level, and we'll discuss this in greater detail later this evening, but on some level, sukkah and tzitzis are similar mitzvos. They are similar mitzvos in that you can't say that they are optional. Certain mitzvos are completely optional. Again, the Gra has a famous comment that eating matzah all 7 days of Pesach is an optional mitzvah, in the sense of, if I do it, I get points. I have no obligation to do it. Most mitzvahs in Judaism, you have an obligation to do. No, if a man does not wear tefillin, that is not an ideal Jew. No, the mitzvah is that you have to do it. Most mitzvahs are not options. They are obligations. That's what the word mitzvah means. Right? In Reform and Conservative Judaism, they translate mitzvah often as a good deed. That's not what mitzvah means. Mitzvah means commandment. Most mitzvahs are absolute commandments. We have this obscure type of position of the Vilna Gaon that sometimes you have something which is an option, but you get points. Sukkah and tzitzis are both the same in that I would call them conditional obligations. No? It's a conditional obligation in the sense of, if I want to eat bread during sukkahs, I want to have a full meal, I better eat in my sukkah. If I have a garment of four corners, I better put tzitzis on. I don't have to eat bread on sukkahs. I don't have to have a garment of four corners. But if I have that, if I have that condition, then I have an obligation. That's what we call conditional obligations. And that's basically what we are deriving. So the Gemara, until now, has been talking about sukkah, and now the Gemara is segueing into tzitzis, and I just made that whole introduction to show that on some level, sukkah and tzitzis share a common theme, which is that they are conditional obligations. I'm obligated to wear tzitzis on some occasions. I am, etc. On some occasions, I'm obligated to wear tzitzis. So someone, Peter, said tzitzis isn't obligated 24 days. You probably mean 24 hours, but sukkah is. So that's true. To some extent, I would just say that's an additional condition in the mitzvah of tzitzis. And I should add that according to half of the Rishonim, tzitzis is a mitzvah all day. In other words, when I say that nighttime there's no obligation in tzitzis, what that means is you don't have to put tzitzis on your pajamas. But if you're wearing a regular shirt, right, at night, you still have to have tzitzis on it. Right? That's a famous dispute between the Rosh and the Rambam in Simin Yud Ches of Arichayim. Okay, so the Gemara is comparing tzitzis to sukkah. The Gemara says, Ubeis Hillel less luhud Rav Yehuda Amarav. Does Beis Hillel not agree with Rav Yehuda Amarav? It's like 9 lines on the bottom or so. Does Beis Hillel not agree with Rav Yehuda Amarav? The Amarav Yehuda Amarav. Asa min hakotzin umin hanimin umin hagradin is psula. If I make tzitzis from Kotzin. Kotzin, according to Rashi, is if I have certain strings that come down from the garment, and it looks like the garment was torn by thorns. A kotz is literally a thorn. Nimin, according to Rashi, are stray threads that you sew a garment, and there are some threads at the bottom. So if you make the tzitzis from kotzin, from the stray threads, or you make it from nimin, or you make it, kotzin is the also stray threads that look like they were ripped on a thorn. Nimin are just stray threads. Geradin is the same type of thing. These are just like stray threads at the bottom of the garment. So this is pasul. This is not kosher. According to Rashi, the reason why this is not kosher is because you have to insert the strings into the tzitzis, into the garment, lishma. Right? If any of the men on the Zoom shear would look at their tzitzis, there's like a hole in it, no? There's a hole in the corner, and the strings go through that hole in the corner. Rashi says that when I insert the tzitzis into the hole in the corner, I apologize if I'm getting undressed in public, but there is a hole over here, and when I insert the tzitzis into that hole, I have to say I'm doing it for the mitzvah of tzitzis. So therefore, if I just have some stray strings that are coming out of the garment, and I wrap them around, and I tie the knots, whatever, it's pasul, because it's not lishma, according to Rashi. Right? That's what Rashi points out. Rashi Pesula, the Rashi is around 12 lines before the lines get wide. Zakt Rashi Pesula, ho'il utluyim va'omdim kol ela bebeged, v'lo nitlu ba l'shem tzitzis, lav asiya l'shmahi. Right? These are pasul because you did not hang the tzitzis for the mitzvah. You have to do taliyah, you have to hang it for the mitzvah according to Rashi. So again, so if I make the tzitzis from these stray strings at the bottom, it's non-kosher. Min ha-sisin means if I make the tzitzis, sisin are just plain ordinary threads that I put into the garment. So according to the Tanna Kamma, according to the first opinion, min ha-sisin is kosher. Right? In other words, I have string. Sisin are plain strings, and I put them in the garment. That is okay. Ki amrisa kamei de Shmuel, amarli af min ha-sisin nami psula, de be'inan tevia lishma. Right? When they said this statement to Shmuel, right? Rav Yehuda is a student both of Rav and Shmuel. So he quoted from his Rebbe Rav that the tzitzis that are made from the sisin, the tzitzis that are made from plain ordinary strings are kosher. Shmuel says, no, it's not kosher, because not only do you have to, again, we're learning the Gemara according to Rashi, not only do I have to insert the strings into the garment lishma, but according to Shmuel, you also have to do tevia. Tevia means like you... I need someone who speaks English. When you take little threads and you wrap it to become a string, what? You spin it, thank you, right? Then you have to spin it to become a string. You have to do that lishma also, according to Shmuel. So the Gemara has a question, right? Six lines from the bottom. Hachanami nibaya suka asuya lishma. The Gemara has a question. 1 second, Beis Hillel, my dear, beloved Beis Hillel. Sukkah doesn't have to be lishma, right? But tzitzis does have to be lishma. So if tzitzis has to be lishma, we should also require lishma by the sukkah. That's the Gemara's question. We should also require lishma by sukkah. If tzitzis needs lishma, So then, sukkah needs lishma. So the Gemara answers, Shani Hasam, right? Five lines from the bottom. Shani Hasam da amakra, gedilim ta'asa lecha, lecha l'shem chovcha. The Gemara says, no. Tzitzis has to be lishma, because the pasuk says that you should make the tzitzis, gedilim ta'asa lecha, make the tzitzis for yourself. That means l'shem chovcha. Make the tzitzis for your obligation. So it's a special pasuk. You can't prove anything from tzitzis to sukkah, because by tzitzis it's a beferish, a pasuk, in kiseitze, whatever it is, gedilim ta'aseh lecha, that you have to make it for the mitzvah. So frankly, whoa, you're not going to get away with that. The Gemara says, well, hachanami, chag hasukos ta'aseh lecha, lecha l'shem chovcha. So the Gemara says, whoa, you can't get away with that, because it says lecha by tzitzis, but it also says lecha by sukkah. So just like lecha by tzitzis means that you have to do it l'shem chova, so also the lecha by sukkah means you have to do it l'shem chova, that you have to build the sukkah for the mitzvah, for the obligation. Sigma says, no, you got it wrong. Hahu mibayale lemuute gizula. When the Torah says that kragasukos ta'aseh lecha, it doesn't mean that you have to build the sukkah for the mitzvah. Rather, what it means is ta'aseh lecha, make your sukkah. Don't steal somebody else's sukkah. So according to Beis Hillel, by tzitzis, the pasuk says lecha, and it means for the mitzvah. But by sukkah, the pasuk says lecha, and it doesn't mean for the mitzvah. By sukkah, when the Torah says lecha, it just means don't steal it. So, frak the Gemara, 1 second. Hasam nami, mibayalei lemu'ute gezula. By tzitzis also, I should say that gedilim ta'aseh lecha means don't have stolen tzitzis. Right? Just like you say, don't have a stolen sukkah, lecha, you have to own it. Say, don't have stolen tzitzis. So the Gemara says, no. Hasam ksiv k'ra'achrina v'asu lahem mishalahem. You're right, you can't have stolen tzitzis, but that comes from a different pasuk. It says, v'asu lahem. Lahem tells me it's got to belong to you. But the word lecha by tzitzis teaches me it has to be l'shma, l'shem chova. But by sukkah, there's only one pasuk, and that one pasuk, according to Beis Hillel, tells me that you have to build the sukkah, and you can't steal a sukkah. It does not mean that the sukkah has to be lishma. Tzitzis has to be lishma. Sukkah doesn't have to be lishma. The word lecha by sukkah just tells me don't steal a sukkah. That is the Gemara. Okay? So now we can kind of take our heads above the water. We can take a deep breath and begin to analyze this a teeny bit. So the first point I want to make in analysis of this Gemara is I kept on saying when I read the Gemara that this is the Gemara as understood by Rashi. Meaning, Rashi says that every single person in Judaism says that by tzitzis it has to be lishma. You have to insert the strings into the hole l'shem mitzvah. It requires taliyah lishma. By the way, they teach kids, often in elementary school, to make the tzitzis lishma, no? The Rebbe teaches kids, this is how you tie tzitzis. One of the big questions comes up, let's say one of the kids in the class is not bar mitzvah yet and he made himself a pair of tzitzis. Does that work for after the bar mitzvah? But when they teach you how to make tzitzis in elementary school, they tell you that when you stick the string into the hole, say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. You tie the knot, you say l'shem mitzvah tzitzis. Right, that's what you do. According to Rashi, tzliya has to be l'shma, no question. And therefore, when the Gemara has a question, according to Beis Hillel, that question that the Gemara is asking, according to Beis Hillel, is no matter what, whether I hold like Rav that the Tliya has to be Lishma, whether I hold like Rav that the Tviya, that the making it into, I keep on going blank on the word, whatever, making it into the string, right, has to, according to Rav, does not have to be Lashma. According to Shmuel, it has to be Lashma, but that doesn't matter. The Gemara's question is that there is something of Lashma by Tzitzis. Sticking the string into the hole has to be Lashma, according to Rashi. And therefore, the Gemara's question, I, Beis Hillel, you don't hold the Lashma? That question is according to everybody. Right? Rav, Shmuel, everybody in Judaism holds that you have to stick the string into the hole, L'shem Mitzvahs Tzitzis. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. And according to Rashi, Asa'a min ha-kotzim, when the Gemara says, if I make the tzitzis from the kotzim, it just means that I did not stick the string into the hole l'shma. I just take some straggling strings at the bottom and then make that into the tzitzis. That's Rashi. The Baal HaMa'or. The Baal HaMa'or is Reb Zrachya Halevi. It's called Ma'or because he lived in the town of Lunel in Provence, right? Ma'or is like light. He has the Ma'or HaGadol, is what he calls his Sefer Noshem and Nezikin, the big light, because Noshem and Nezikin is very hard. You need a lot of light. The Ma'or HaKatan is what he calls his Sefer on Seder Moed. It's like the moon, the small light. Lunel, moon, right, in lunar, right? So that's what the Sefer is, etc. So the Baal HaMa'or comes from Lunel, and the Baal HaMa'or quotes from the Gaonim that a different understanding of Asa'a min HaKotzim. Asa'a min HaKotzim, according to the Baal HaMa'or, means that if the strings, or I shouldn't say the strings, if the corner of the garment, remember, a garment, to be chayav in tzitzis, needs four corners. Let's say I have regular woven material for the entire garment, but the corner is made out of a different material. If the corner, let's say, is made out of leather, or let's say the whole garment is made, this is a simpler way of saying it, the whole garment is made out of wool, so then the strings for the tzitzis have to be wool or linen. That's it. Hakanaf min kanaf. But I can't make the strings, or I can't have the corner out of a different material than the rest of the garment is made of. So according to the Baal HaMa'or, when the Gemara says asa'a min hakotzim, if I make the strings from thorns, what it means is a garment that was ripped by the thorns, and therefore it's a different type of garment, and therefore it is not min hakanaf, min in the sense of mem yud nun, it's not the same species as the rest of the garment, and that's why it's no good. So according to the Baal HaMa'or, the Gemara's question is only according to Shmuel, who says you need l'shma. According to Baal HaMa'or, the beginning of the Gemara, that if I make the tzitzis from kotzin, from nimin, from gradin, from all these things, that has nothing to do with lishma. That's a different halacha of hakanaf min kanaf. Okay, this issue is actually dependent on, if you look at six lines on the bottom, the word alma is in parentheses. Parentheses means that the word appeared in the manuscript, and when they printed the Vilna Shas, they decided to delete it. And the reason why they delete it is because Rashi says, Alma, Rashi four lines from the bottom, Lo gar sinon. We don't have Alma in the text. Rather, the text is Af min hasisin, because according to Rashi, the Gemara's question is both from Rav and Shmuel, that everybody holds you need Asiya l'shma. If the question, if you have the text Alma, so Alma means that we see from here, so then the question is only according to Shmuel, not according to Rav. So that's one brief point, minor point. Okay, gentlemen, ladies, chevra, Jews, non-Jews, whoever is present on this shiur, right, so far so good. Fine. Now, Tosfos over here has one of the more famous Tosfos in Maseches Sukkah. Remember, the Gemara ultimately says that by Sukkah, when the Torah says, Chag HaSukkos Taseh Lecha, the word Lecha means, make the Sukkah, don't steal it. A Sukkah Gezula, a stolen Sukkah, is no good. Right? That pasuk of Lecha tells me that a stolen sukkah is not kosher. Tosis asks, Tema, Tosis asks. You see the Tosis Hahu? Right? It's the bottom Tosis. Hahu mibayla lemute gezula. Tema, Tosis asks. I'm bewildered. I got a problem. Tepuk le mishum dehevele mitzvah haba ba'avera. Why do you need a pasuk to tell you that a sukkah cannot be stolen? We have a general principle in rabbinic Judaism called mitzvah haba ba'avera. Mitzvah haba ba'avera means if I obtain my mitzvah item through an illicit act, so that item is not kosher for the mitzvah. That's mitzvah haba ba'avera. So why do I need the pasuk to say that a stolen sukkah is no good? Typically, we should derive it because it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera. Demehai taima paslin an esrig hagozol biyom tov sheni lekamon bereish lulav hagozol. Right, the Gemara says a stolen esrog is non-kosher on the second day of Yontiv. Why is a stolen esrog not kosher on the second day of Yontiv? Because it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera. The esrog was obtained by stealing. If that's the case, if esrog on day two of Yontiv is a problem because of mitzvah haba ba'avera, so I should say that stolen sukkah is also a problem because of mitzvah haba ba'avera. Ubahi shmaitza gufa kasha, right, the Gemara at the beginning of Lulav HaGozel says, I understand why the first day of Yontiv a stolen esrig is no good, because you have to own the esrig. The Torah says that the first day of Sukkot, you have to own the esrig. If you steal it, it's not really yours. So I understand the first day of Yontiv, it says Lachem. Ela Yontiv Sheni Amai, on the second day of Yontiv. Right? The Torah doesn't say Lochem the second day of Yontiv. The Torah says Ukachtem Lochem by Yom Harishon. The first day of Yontiv has to be Lochem. But the second day of Yontiv, why is it going to be a problem? And the Gemara answers, Umishani, Mishum Dehevelai Mitzvah Bab Aveira. Second day of Yontiv is a problem because the item was obtained through Aveira. Vahashta Imkain Lomali Lochem. Mishalochem, right? If mitzvah haba ba'avera is a problem, that day two of Sukkot, you can't use a stolen esrig because it's a mitzvah haba ba'avera. So day one of Sukkot also, I can't use a stolen esrig because it's mitzvah haba ba'avera. And why do I need lochem? Umihu, Tosfos says, Hasam ikilishnuye de ishchem ute sha'ol. You see, the first day of Sukkot, it has to be lachem. It has to be yours. Yours in the sense of, if you borrow a lulav or an esrig on the first day of Sukkah, you're not yotzei. Right? The first day of Sukkah, it better be yours. You can't borrow it. So it could be, says Tosfos, that day one of Sukkot, I need the word lachem to tell me that a borrowed esrig is no good. A stolen esrig, of course, is no good. But a stolen esrig is no good on day two of Sukkot also. On day two of Sukkot, a borrowed esrig is good. Abagabi, so that works for esrig. That day one, there's a halacha that you have to own it, you can't borrow it. Day two, the halacha is that you just can't steal it. But you can borrow an esrig. Abagabi, sukkah lekalashnui hachai. Right, The Gemara says that I could borrow a sukkah. No? Lulav, I can't borrow on day one. It has to be lachem. It's got to be yours. Sukkah doesn't have to be yours. I'm allowed to borrow your sukkah. We derive from the pasuk kol ha'ezrach v'Yisrael yeshvu basukot that all Jewish citizens should sit in the sukkah. What that means is all Jewish citizens can sit in the same sukkah. Now, how is it possible that we all sit in the same sukkah? The answer is that I'm borrowing a sukkah. So we're all sitting in the same sukkah. We all, I don't know if it's like in the Heights. I think people have like timeshares or shifts in the sukkah, right? In some of the buildings that you have like a shift that you could use the sukkah between 11 a.m. and noon. The next family has a shift noon until 1, stuff like that. Does that still exist in the Heights? I'm pretty sure this was the old practice. All people could sit in the sukkah. You could all sit in the same sukkah. You could borrow a sukkah. That's fine. You can't borrow an esrig on the first day of Yontif. So Tysus is bothered by Akasha. Basically, when the dust over here settles, Tysus is bothered by Akasha. The Akasha is, I don't understand. Why do you need to tell me that a stolen... pardon me. Why do you need to tell me that a stolen sukkah is no good? You don't need a pasuk of lecha to tell me that a stolen sukkah is no good. The reason why a stolen sukkah is no good is because it's a mitzvah haba b'aveira. And we have this principle, mitzvah haba b'aveira. We apply that principle to an esrig on day 2 of sukkahs. So why don't you apply the same principle that a sukkah that is stolen is a mitzvah haba b'aveira and you're not yotzei? That's Tosis's kasha. So Tosis answers, V'yesh lomar. You see, it says, Daf Chav Zayin Omer Beis in the parentheses. One line beneath that, Tosis answers, V'yesh lomar. De taima de mitzvah baba aveira lav de oraisa ela midrabanan. Mitzvah baba aveira is not a biblical principle. It's a rabbinic principle. So I need a pasuk to say that a stolen sukkah is not good, because you can't use it for mitzvah haba b'aveira, because mitzvah haba b'aveira is not Torah law. A pasuk is much better. A pasuk is Torah law. So therefore, I don't want to use the principle of mitzvah haba b'aveira, because that principle is true only rabbinically. Min ha-Torah, the concept of mitzvah haba b'aveira does not exist. Now, right, everyone got this? Right, what we have over here is that the Gemara derives from a pasuk of lecha that the sukkah can't be stolen. Tysus asks, why do you need a pasuk that it can't be stolen? Let's say that the reason it can't be stolen is because it's a mitzvah haba b'aveira. So Tosis answers, no, you can't say mitzvah haba b'aveira. Mitzvah haba b'aveira is a rabbinic principle. Now, Tosis' comment that mitzvah haba b'aveira is a rabbinic principle is a little difficult, no? The Gemara in Bava Kamma on Daf Samach Zayin. The Gemara uses a pasuk to prove mitzvah haba b'aveira. The pasuk says, v'haveitem gazol et vavitem ola et ha piseach et ha gazol. Right, the Novi is critical on the Jews. Vavitem ola, that you're bringing an ola et ha piseach. A piseach is a limping animal. That's what we call a balmum, an animal that is it limps. It has a mum. Vavitem ola et ha piseach ve et ha gazol, and a stolen animal. Zakti Gomer Bavakama Samach Zayin, Gozol Dumya de Piseach. Now, just like a Baumum is not kosher as a carbon, Gozol, a stolen animal, is also not kosher as a carbon, and that's the source of the principle of Mitzvah Bavavera. So when Tysus says that Mitzvah Bavavera is a rabbinic principle, it is really difficult. like super difficult. Like on a scale of 1 to 10, it rises to a 9 in the level of difficulty. It's like really, really difficult because we learn it from a pasuk. Moreover, Taisus elsewhere says that the principle of mitzvah b'aveira is a din d'oraisa. And in fact, if you go on in this Taisus, it gets a little bit complicated, so I'm not going to read it inside, but Taisus tries to show from a Gemara in Gittin and in Bava Kama that the principle of mitzvah b'aveira is a din d'oraisa. So, Taisus has an interesting suggestion that the principle of mitzvah b'aveira is d'rabbanon. That means that when the Gemara learns from a pasuk, it's just an asmachta. It's like a hint from the pasuk. It's not a real limur. But that's difficult because the Gemara doesn't sound that way. It's difficult because Taisus elsewhere doesn't sound that way. It's just difficult. So, here is the way it goes. Rishonim work very hard on this question. Again, question, how come mitzvah haba ba'aveira is not invoked to invalidate a stolen sukkah? Why do you need a pasuk to invalidate a stolen sukkah? We should use the rule of mitzvah haba ba'aveira. So, the Ritva has a famous comment. The Ritva writes that maybe the principle of mitzvah haba ba'aveira does not apply to all mitzvos. The Gemara says it about a carbon. And the Gemara says mitzvah haba ba'aveira about a lulav and an esrog. Lulav and esrog and carbon both have a similar property, says the Ritva, that they are bal l'ratzot, that they come to create a special relationship between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ritzui is something that karbanos accomplish, that we feel a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ritzei is the part of davening where our tefillah goes from personal requests to become tefillah as a karban. Ritzei Hashem Elokeinu b'amcha Yisrael, right? V'hashem es havodah l'dvir be'secha v'ishei Yisrael. It becomes like a karban. The concept of ritzui is about karbanos. And the Gemara says also that lulav also has the same principle that it accomplishes ritzui. So says the Ritva. The Ritva says, you know what? You can't use mitzvah haba ba'aveira, because mitzvah haba ba'aveira is a principle that only applies to carbon type of things. It does not apply to non-carbon things. So it applies to carbon. It applies to lulav because lulav is like a carbon. Just accept it. Lulav is like a carbon. But it won't apply to sukkah because sukkah is not like a carbon. Sukkah does not attain ritzui. It happens just like, as an aside, there is a book out there called the Siddur Hagra with the commentary of the Ishei Yisrael, I think it is on the bottom. So in that Siddur Hagra, he says the pshat that in the davening, Atavichartanu mikol ha'amim, ohavtoi sonu, v'ratzi sabanu. So Atavichartanu mikol ha'amim, Bechira, Hashem chose the Jewish people on the Yontiv of Pesach, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us and took us out of Mitzrayim. Ahavta Osanu, says the commentary of the Siddur Hagra, refers to the Yontiv of Shavuos, where the Ribbono Shel Olam showed love to Klal Yisrael and gave us the Torah. V'ratzi Sabanu refers to the Yontiv of Sukkos, because Sukkos comes right after Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu erases our Averis. But erasing Averis just means that I don't hold a grudge against you. But we're not yet best friends. The Yontiv of Sukkos accomplishes Ritzui, says the Gra, which is that we become best friends with the Ribbono Shel Olam, Yachbi Enu, right? Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. That we are now under HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wings, as it were. So that's Ritzui. I'm only mentioning this because the Gra is saying over there, again, whoever, Rabbi Hoffman could probably speak more intelligently about this. My understanding is that that Siddur Isha Yisrael, which is attributed to the Gra, isn't really from Elijah Kramer of Vilna, but whatever it is, the Gra over there is saying that the Yontif of Sukkot is Ritzui, and over here we're saying that Lulav is Ritzui, but the Sukkah, for which the Yontif of Sukkot is named, is not Ritzui. But okay, be it as it may, that's the famous comment of the Ritva. The Ritva says that you cannot use the principle of mitzvah haboba avera to sukkah, because mitzvah haboba avera only applies to carbon. It only applies to lulav, because these are coming liratzon, but it doesn't apply to sukkah. That's the comment of the Ritva. The Me'iri has a different approach. The Me'iri says that mitzvah haboba avera means that I am holding the chefts of the avera. No? If I steal a lulav, I steal an esrig, so that's the chefza, the object that I do the mitzvah with, that stolen object I'm doing the mitzvah with, that's mitzvah haboba avera. Let's say a sukkah, however. What am I stealing? I'm not stealing the ground. The Gemara has a principle in many places in Shas, karka in an exelis. Can't really steal land. No? So what did I steal? I stole the schach. But I don't do the mitzvah with the schach. You see, the schach is on top of me. The schach covers me. But I just sit there. So I'm not doing the mitzvah with the schach itself. The chafza that was stolen is not used for the mitzvah. So the Me'iri says, based on this, we can't apply the principle of mitzvah haboba avera to the sukkah, because mitzvah haboba avera only means when the chafza is used. By the korban, the chafza, that object, is being used. By the lulav, that object is being used. By the sukkah, the mitzvah is not done with the stolen object. I sit in the sukkah, but I'm not grabbed onto that schach. I'm not, right, Godzilla, grabbing onto the schach. I'm not doing that. That's the comment of the Me'iri. Okay, so again, Tosfos has a kasha. Why do you need a pasuk to tell me that a stolen sukkah is not good? We should say that stolen sukkah is not good because it's a mitzvah haboba avera. So Tosfos says mitzvah haboba avera is only rabbinic. The Ritva says mitzvah haboba avera doesn't apply to sukkah, it only applies to korban type things. The Me'iri says mitzvah haboba avera only applies to cheftz of an avera that you're doing for a mitzvah, that you're holding it somehow. But sukkah, it doesn't apply to. Those are the approaches in the Rishonim. Among Acharonim, however, you see a number of different approaches which all get to the same idea. You know, we're using Brisker terminology. So Briskers like talking about, this is like cliched Brisk, right? It's not paradigmatic. Brisk, this is a cliché of Brisk. The cliché of Brisk is Gavra Cheftza, no? Gavra in the sense of that the individual, the person, has the obligation. Cheftza in the sense of the object. Is it an obligation on the person, or is the focus on the object? Right, that's Gavra versus Cheftza. So many of the Acharonim say an idea in various and sundry forms that mitzvah haboba avera means that I do not get the mitzvah. Mitzvah haboba avera means the gavra, the individual, the person who does a mitzvah that was obtained with avera, that individual does not get the mitzvah. It doesn't count on his or her ledger. Mitzvah haboba avera. The din of a stolen sukkah not being kosher is beyond mitzvah haba b'aveira. The din of a stolen sukkah not being kosher means that the cheftza, the object of the sukkah, is not a kosher object. The object of the sukkah itself, is poisoned. That sukkah is not a good sukkah. Unlike mitzvah haba b'aveira, that just says, I don't get the mitzvah, but a stolen sukkah, the object is poisoned. It's a din in the chafza, not in the gavra. You got the distinction so far, chevra, ladies and gentlemen? Kayla, you're shaking your head sideways, which means you're not sure. You have to unmute yourself. You're not very good with brisk to begin with. Okay, let me just try to say it one more time. Basically, the idea that we're developing is that a stolen sukkah means that object, that sukkah itself, is puzzle. Mitzvah baba vera means I don't get the points. But it doesn't mean that the object is not a kosher object. Now, what difference does it make? So I'll tell you the difference. And this one actually does come from Elijah Kramer. This does come from the Gra. The Gra in his notes on Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tav Resh Mem Tes has the following idea. Let's say I steal a sukkah. Okay, I go to your garage. I steal the bamboo. No? And I make a sukkah with your bamboo. Okay, so Ezra steals Peter's bamboo. Then Kayla sits in the sukkah. Does Kayla get the mitzvah? You have to unmute yourself. Correct. Right? In other words, when it comes from, if I come at it from a mitzvah haba ba'aveira perspective, so the only person who did the Aveira is Ezra, right? Ezra stole the schach. So Ezra, right? So Ezra can't sit in that stolen sukkah. Okay, grand. But if you hold that mitzvah hababa Aveira means that the chafza, the object, the sukkah is invalid, so if I steal Peter's bamboo, so Kayla, who sits in the sukkah, doesn't get the mitzvah because the object is invalid, right? It's not a sukkah. It's like you're sitting in a brick house. It's not a sukkah. It's stolen. It's an invalid object. That's what the Gra says. That's already interesting, no? The difference between Gavra and Cheftza really comes across in that respect. There are other Achronim who develop this same type of idea, and they use slightly different examples to illustrate the point. There's a tshuva of the Varshava Rav, the Rav in Warsaw, in his tshuvas Chemda Shlomo. He says that let's say you steal an item b'shogeg. Let's say you think that the bamboo belongs to you. But it turns out it doesn't belong to you. It turns out it belongs to somebody else. Do you get the mitzvah? So if it's a mitzvah habab aveira, it's not a mitzvah habab aveira. Because you didn't really do an aveira. You thought it was yours. That's not an aveira. However, if you hold that a stolen sukkah is definitionally invalid, so then you're not going to get the mitzvah, even though you took the item accidentally. This sometimes happens, no? People often build their sukkah right at the border of their property. Well, okay, that's fine. It's fine if it's at the border of my property. But if my sukkah extends into your property, even if I do so accidentally, no? This happens all the time. You put up a new fence, and the fence builder just adds a couple of inches. You're a robber, you're a goslin, you're a ganav, you're stealing, no? And if you have your sukkah over there, you don't get a mitzvah, even though it's accidental, even though it's b'shogeg, because I have a special pasuk that tells me that a stolen sukkah is not a sukkah. The most famous version of this approach, the approach that distinguishes between mitzvah habah ba'aveira and sukkah gezula and a stolen sukkah, the most famous approach over here is the Minchas Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch was the Rav in Tarnopol, and he wrote a sefer which is unbelievable. Rav Soloveitchik used to say that as a kid, he would like stay up at night after his father told him to go to bed. He would just like hide with his, you know, flashlight or whatever. You know the way kids, like, I don't think he had a flashlight, but he would just hide under the covers reading Minchas Chinuch. Because Minchas Chinuch is such a fun sefer. I think most people I know, when they hide under their covers to read, it ain't Minchas Chinuch, but that's a different story. Most of us are not Rav Soloveitchik. But the Minchas Chinuch develops an idea that there are different types of mitzvos. You know, there are some mitzvos that what Hashem wants is I do X. And then there are other times that Hashem does not want me to do X. Hashem wants me not to do Y. It's not a full mitzvah in the sense I'm not doing what God wants, but what I am doing is I am making sure not to do what God does not want. The two examples of this are what really came up in our Gemara, tzitzis and sukkah. The Minchas Chinuch says, God wants you to sit in the sukkah only the first night of Yontif. The rest of Yontif, God does not want you to sit in the sukkah. It's not an obligation. But God does not want you to eat bread outside of a sukkah. So when I sit in the sukkah the rest of Yontif, what I am doing is I am making sure that I don't do what God does not want. Good? Tzitzis also. God doesn't want me to wear tzitzis. God wants me not to have a four-cornered garment that does not have tzitzis. But God does not want me to wear tzitzis. The tzitzis itself is not what Hashem wants. Says the Minchas Chinuch, the principle of mitzvah habah ba'aveira only applies when you are trying to do what Hashem wants, but the object was obtained illicitly, therefore you don't get the points. But in a situation that Hashem does not want you to do this, Hashem just wants you not to do the opposite. So in those cases, says the Minchas Chinuch, mitzvah habah ba'aveira would not apply. Right, to put this succinctly, or as succinctly as I can put it, what the Minchas Chinuch is really getting at is that mitzvah habah ba'aveira only invalidates those mitzvos that Hashem really wants. But by sukkah, Hashem doesn't really want me to sit in the sukkah. Hashem wants me not to sit outside of the sukkah. So if it would be a problem based on mitzvah habah ba'aveira, so you can't say that you're sitting outside of the sukkah. You're not sitting outside of the sukkah, because you're sitting in the sukkah. It's a mitzvah habah ba'aveira. Yeah, but I'm covered in tzrach. It's okay. So that's why I need a special pasuk to tell me that the sukkah can't be stolen. The regular rule of mitzvah habah ba'aveira would not apply to a sukkah, says the Minchas Chinuch, because the regular rule of mitzvah habah ba'aveira only applies to those mitzvos that Hashem really wants from you. But sukkah is not something that Hashem really wants. As such, there is no, the principle of mitzvah habah ba'aveira would not apply. Now, this is really interesting, all of these approaches, I think, are interesting. And all of these approaches are basically getting to the same idea, which is that, again, we had like three approaches in Achronim that are all making distinctions between Gavra and Chafza, or the Minchas Chinuch's approaches, somewhat similar. Basically, Mitzvah Hababa Aveira means I don't get the mitzvah. But Sukkah Gezula, a stolen sukkah, it's not a sukkah. Therefore, if I steal a sukkah, it's not kosher for anybody. Right? Therefore, even if it's stolen, the shogeg, it's not good. And the Minchas Chinuch develops this idea in the most razzle-dazzle way. Minchas Chinuch says that fundamentally the concept of mitzvah above Aveira cannot apply to sukkah. It can't apply to sukkah because sukkah is not something that Hashem wants. Now, all of these approaches are really difficult because to argue that mitzvah hababa aveira means that I don't get the mitzvah, but the item is not invalidated, seems to be against the pasuk that the Gemara used as a source of mitzvah hababa aveira. Remember, we learn from a pasuk, v'havetem ola et ha-piseach v'et ha-gazul, that your carbon comes from this animal that is piseach, the animal that limps, whatever, right? The animal that has a mum, and gazul, and the stolen item, and the stolen animal. And the Gemara says, piseach dumya de gazul, right? Just like an animal that's a baal mum, it's a problem on the cheftza, so also, presumably, mitzvah hababa aveira is a problem on the cheftza. So this entire approach, as brilliant as it is, again, I guess the Gra is the easiest way to say it. The idea that only a stolen sukkah is invalid, but mitzvah baba veira doesn't mean the sukkah is invalid, that approach is difficult. And the idea, the question that we have on this approach, that mitzvah baba veira seems to be on the cheftza, is actually found in the Yerushalmi. Let's conclude with this Yerushalmi. You know, one of the malachos on Shabbos is the malach of Korea. You're not allowed to tear something on Shabbos. The Gemara asks, what happens if Rachmana Litzlan, Yerushalmi asks, somebody, you know, when you lose a close relative, you have to tear Kriya, you have to rend your garments. Let's say someone tears his or her garments on Shabbos. Do they get the mitzvah of tearing Kriya? So you would say no. It's a mitzvah hababa aveira. But the Rishami says no, you get the mitzvah of tearing Kriya. And the Rishami says, what's the pshat? The Rishami says, well, tearing Kriya on Shabbos is the same. One second. Just have to make sure I'm saying it properly. The Gemara, the Yerushalmi, uses a difference between Hu Ka'ovid Aveira and Gufa Aveira. Let's say I carry matzah through a Rishus Harabim. And then I eat the matzah. So I did an aveira. But the object is not an aveira object. That's Yerushalmi's example. If I steal matzah, the object is an aveira object. When I tear kriya on Shabbos, the object of my kriya isn't an aveira. The aveira that I did is just that I did an aveira, but the object, the chafza, is not an aveira. There's a difference between gufa aveira in the Yerushalmi expression and hu deka'ovid aveira. If I happen to do an aveira, I happen to tear kriya on Shabbos, I get the points. I get the mitzvah. Hu ka'ovid aveira. I happen to do an aveira, but the object was not an aveira object. The idea that you see from the Yerushalmi is that the principle mitzvah habab aveira is a principle on the chafza. It's a principle on the object, again, which is against the way the Vilna Gaon and the Chochma Shlomo and the Menchas Chinuch is against the way everyone develops the idea. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I have to say. Now it's your turn. Any questions, comments, observations, jokes? Okay. So, thank you for listening. And Be'ezus Hashem will continue learning next week. And Yashikaya, have a good night, Chevra.